Such fools those Romen proved to be, to leave me, then, still breathing. To leave Bonvika, not a fighter in her marrow, until that day. Though after, as a mute, she was reborn, all kindness in her burned away, and black-eyed in her stare. She could not marshal speech, so called the forces of herself to seek revenge. Yet our weak pulses never could have been enough to raise up war. Not phoenix-like, not burning with the ache of all the rage of mother wronged, of widowed wife, of queen reduced to mockery with nothing left to lose. That heart song which drew them was hers. Tyrannis, mother, storm queen. Boudica, mother killer. Boudica, Roman killer. Boudica, city burner. Boudica, war cry screamer. Boudica, the bringer ever after of rampant, endless death. For with our halls all burned and men all dead, what else could she do but fight? Of her cold retorting words of loss, words spread, and all tribes sent their bannermen, sent their scouts and office bearers to the Iceni court, brought down ash low. There she spoke to all, displayed in the attire of our queen. Tall as holy terror, with glancing eyes so fierce that none would meet them, and voice as harsh as carrion crows, with her great mass of hair, tawny, plaited, knotted into beads of flame, falling to her hips like fish hooks, baited, dangling. Around her neck was a large golden necklace, her last treasure, her mother's, buried in the mud to keep it safe. The only touch she'd ever had of her. And her tunic was of many furs, diverse in hue, over which a thick mantle was fastened with a brooch, forged of coins that once had borne my father's face. A wolfskin-wearing paragon of death. Until her final breaths came, this was her unvariable attire, and she was queen in every way from that day forth till death. From that day when, under grey storm clouds, she spoke to all who'd come. "Have we not been robbed," she said, "of the greatest parts of that we owned, while for those that remain we paid tax? We pasture, till for them, all of our possessions. Do not we pay tribute with our very bodies? How much better it would be to have been sold to masters once for all than possessing empty titles of freedom to ransom ourselves every moon? How much better to have been slain and perished than to go about as deathless slaves? Only in the case of the Romans did the very dead remain alive for their profit. Why is it that, though none of us has any goods, we are stripped and sullied like victims of murderers and thieves? And why should then the Romans be expected to display moderation as time goes on, when they have behaved towards us in this fashion since the very outset, when all men else show consideration even for a beast they newly capture?" After it was said by all that alone no one, no tribe, no king, could stand against them, but altogether, bound by purpose, we might fight together on our feet, perhaps to die, though better that than to subsist beneath them on our knees. And her words, they reached the dead, reached into the marshes and the fens where Tyrannis demons waited in the dark. as hungry as the dead, and more so for killing and for Roman flesh. And thus we came allied, and rode and ran and slunk and burned. From place to place we roved and gathered others to us, those who'd lived and nevermore could bear to eke out days in penury and fear. Their shield walls stood no chance, for we would bait them. Open battle was their favored way, while we were one with Essus, one with every tree. And from the shadows we did leap, and slice, and cut, and burn. Our beds by day were with the fox, the hares, and forest spirits, and by night we moved. Alas, for all the Roman dead, Rowomen too, though they sometimes would join us in our fight, turned against their masters. And all their best at war, what of them? They were in Himru, druid hunting, far from us and unaware. Surprised, no doubt, when Camalodunum fell, when Mother, like a living flame, burned all their temples, trapping those who surrendered inside first. Their god huts turned to ovens, and the streets of stone burned black with heat so fierce the rocks turned to glass. None was left to stand, and all laid low. Their river ran with ash, and Mandubrak I did not just slay, but ate. Served his flesh unto myself on Roman plates with fish sauce dressed. And what power that man had, that hollow king, was mine then as his vengeful never wife. The Hispanics all then came, the legion they called Ninth. But we, in our mass of anger, were the first of Britain. And by the time the last of them had begged for death, we knew where next to strike. The heart of the snake of many heads, at London, head place, capital. You should have seen their grain stores burn. Should know all those who build up walls that getting out is harder, so much harder than it ever is getting in. I cannot count the dead. For us, the scale of things is Roman. Coin language, a cross for 10. How many tens? How many crosses? More than I have fingers, toes, so many more than one might drown in, for one man's blood can be enough for that. And so much blood fed down into the earth as we moved from place to place, we knew that never more would Essus know to hunger. But smoke rises from a campfire telling hints. The smoke of a city, well, the whispered speech of all that cloud called allies to the eagle banner, to the wolf men, turtle men, whose name it means to wander. Rowmen. Perhaps that was the turning of the tide, the wave's crest. For though the heart was burned, the beast fought on. No man can be as thus. Our phantom crew of hungry ghosts could not win against a heartless thing. The demons could not be long without their rich marsh waters. Yet to the Catavaloni war chiefs it was owed, the lands that they called home. So to Uralamos, behind new ditch and wall. Those places all were strange to see, not mud and straw and wood and reed, always, always stone, stone in lines that had not grown, did not know that beauty means for something to be crooked. Stone onto which blood will pool, not soak into the earth. Stone which must be burned and split and crushed to make it disappear. Bonvica, there at Urulamos, did claim her greatest victory, reduced it all to ash, and stayed the longest then to watch the flames. a slender form, once known for listening out for birds or watching wildflowers bloom and grow, transformed, remade into a woman, born to kill and reap the crops of others just to see them put to flame. Alas for Suetonius, that red-fronded cockerel king. He who knew of fighting not to leave a single foe with life enough to ever rise again. Suetonius, who, in killing druids, enslaved them too, and brought to bear witch speak, foul things from deepest dark. He cared not for the sun, just like the things, not men, who came to fight beside him. Things with which all Rome could bargain, ever, always, for gold. And so it was again that Rome men turned into a noose, and we within did struggle, kick, and fight against the tide. We were so many, too, and they so few. But chariots ridden by Icenae have never been as strong as chariots ridden by Rome men. War elephants we had none, no dragon fire, no catapults nor fortresses. We were together, though, all alone. And as some died, others fled in fear, and as those fearful fled, others died, and fear within our ranks grew faster than did hope. A balance tipped, coins weighed out and counted, so many heads, so much metal, fired, molded, clipped and broken. And it was at Caerleon where all was lost. Boudica, heartbeat mother, fighter of the first, she who was the line, whose war cries were themselves a demon shriek. How many men, though, can a single woman slay? How many women? How many children? What debt was hers to pay in stark Roman accounting? Kingdom's worth. Yet ever will a debt come due. First portion then of which was Bonvica, who, surrounded, slit her throat apart upon the steps of their water temple shrine. Such a pitiful retreat we made from then. Time unspooling like a bolt of cloth, red with madder stain like blood. Our footfalls they followed, sniffing like the wolves they ever were, following the trail we made, nowhere to run or hide. And so it was that Boudica, enclosed, encircled, and ensnared, took from her belt her knife. Like a king, she said, to feed the roots. And it was done. Upon a foreign oak. My mother, scion of Tyrannus, bringer of rampant death, dark-eyed avenger of a dead king's honor and her daughter's honor once sundered. City burner Boudica, war cry screamer Boudica. Boudica, war drum sounding, Boudica, hoof-beat thunderer, Boudica, heart song, neck slit, leg slit, arm slit. Boudica, pulse, Boudica, blood, Boudica, stopped. The silence then was nil for swords and spears and battle were a din, but I was there to see it, King Boudica, honored. I who knew then in my soul there was not honor in her death, no honor in the deaths of oh so many. That hate will grow for coin, for dead men's heads, not more than mine. For as I fled, I knew, hiding, quiet, shadow still, that I should live. I should ride, Epona, horse one, wheat one. I should breed and sally forth an all-new line of kings.